a brand-new sugya. The Gemara is trying just to understand what the word lechitza means. It's a pretty important word in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah begins by Hashutfin Shirotz Alasas Lechitza Vanisakaisel. So the Gemara develops in the base of the base two very, very different possibilities into the Torah and the Mishnah. Either the word mechitza means a wall. That's why we got a little sidetracked for about 5 weeks or so about mechitza kerashin nefretzah. But assuming that it means a wall, that's one interpretation of the Mishnah. Then there's a totally different interpretation of the Mishnah. The word mechitza means the lashon chalukah, just to divide up. My nafkamina, because it's a huge nafkamina. Where it says that if you take the approach that mechitza means just simply to divide up, so what the Mishnah is committing itself is to the following halacha. Two partners, they own the chotzer together, and they simply decide to divide up the chotzer. Now, what exactly obligates them to do that once they make that decision, quote-unquote? Is that word? Is that a kinyan? Is that a kinyan sudar? A kinyan chazafa? Low the topic. If they wait all the way to have Gimel Manav to figure out what exactly gives some teeth, legal teeth, to that decision. But assuming that something gave legal teeth to that decision, so what the Mishnah would be telling us is that a shutfin shiratz alasas mechitza, once the two partners agreed simply to divide up, the halacha now superimposes upon the mechia, but it's a kaisel. They have to build a kaisel. Why? What's the mechayim? They didn't agree to build a kaisel. Why did the mechia have to build a kaisel for? Oh, zemen fenda, mishum hezekriya. Because of that terrible problem in Huchashchayim called hezekriya. Just the mere fact that I'm looking into your half of the backyard, you have a tiny in me in Dini Mamanis that you don't like that. That bothers you, that upsets you, and that's a valid tiny in Dini Mamanis. What if you have the other Psha in the Mishnah? What if you learn Psha in the Mishnah, Shutfin, Shirotz, Lasas, Bechitza means they decide to build a wall? So then the opposite is true. And the only thing that's Mechayev them to build a wall is because they built a wall. My story is that if they didn't agree to build a wall, then they wouldn't be mechuyev to build a wall because Hezek Riyas Lav Shema Hezek. So that's how the sugya begins. At the top of days and the days, the Gemara opens up with that line. The Gemara says that if you hold that mechitza means a wall, time of the ratzu, hala ratzu, ein mechayev, and they said in the third line from the top, alma Hezek Riyas Lav Shema Hezek. That's a proof positive that Hezek Riyas is not a kain in Dina Mamas. You have no claim to that I'm insisting that you participate in the construction of this wall because I don't want you to look into my backyard. It's a meaningless time in Dina Mamas. So it's that law of the Gemara that begins the sugya. Alma hezek riyah, lash mehezek. So the Rishonim quote from the Rif in the Tshuva. I don't know if anyone has access to this Rif. Tshuva Sarif inside, I'm not really sure. But the Ramban, another Rishonim, later Rishonim quote from the Tshuva Sarif. But the Rif asked the Kasha on the, just on the Shachmatar of the Gemara. The Gemara said that if the Pshat in the Mishnah is Ratzu Lasas Mechitza meant a wall, Zabin, you see from here that Hezek Riyah Lash Mehezek. Yes, the Rif, no. You don't see anything. Maybe there's a different Pshat in the Mishnah. Maybe what the Mishnah means is if they agree to build a wall, then they have to build a wall, but if not, they don't. Not because we're denying Hezek Riyah. But maybe there is something special that we can superimpose into this Mishnah that doesn't necessitate the building of a wall. Liyaylam, Hezek Riyah is considered to be a Hezek. And under normal circumstances, the division of a Chatzer would require a building of a wall. Hezek Riyah is a valid time in the Mumnus. But here there's something different. There's a monkey wrench thrown into the Sugya. What's the monkey wrench thrown into the Sugya? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a situation where it's true either party would have a claim to build a wall, but that's if they claim it immediately. But if time has passed, how long is time? I don't know yet. A couple of hours, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a few years, some X amount of time has passed, and Reuben has not insisted on a wall, and Shimon has not insisted on a wall. Good morning, 6 months later, you want to claim that you're entitled to have a wall? No, that's what the Mishnah is telling me. So the Mishnah is saying, when do they have to build a wall? That's when they agree to build a wall and they're focusing on building a wall and they're mishabed themselves to build a wall, then they have to build a wall. But if not, they don't have to because one of the other parties was moichel on that right of building a wall. But we state in the Mishnah that the reason why there's no chiyuv of building a wall otherwise is because Hezek Riyah Lav Shmei Hezek. That's the risk cash. So the Ramban says, we're not going to lose too much sleep from that kasha. Says the Ramban, why didn't the Gemara say that? First of all, you're superimposing a new fact into the case that doesn't appear in the Mishnah, like Hochamayavskina, they were Moichel. And number two, it's hard to believe that that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell me. The Mishnah is speaking about that unique case. I mean, I could have figured that out on my own, says the Ramban. So the Ramban says, you know, the Rif's whole deal can host the Kotarim again, the ball rolling. It's just not in the Mishnah. You can't even diak anything from the Mishnah. But, says the Ramban, forget about the Mishnah. Forget about the Gemara. What tach is the din? What is the halach? Let's assume for now, let's enter in the world of Hezekiah. Assuming that the starting point is there is a passion for Hezekiah, there's a din of Hezekiah. So two parties divide up a chater. There was no kinyan that was made, there was no chayvus, there was no shibin, nothing. And the starting point is Hezekiah requires of them to build a wall. But they trade. And now weeks and months have passed. And now Reuben comes knocking on Shimon's door and saying, I insist that you participate in the building of a wall, as it says in the Suya of Hezek, Riyah Shvei Hezek. And Shimon says, that was 6 months ago. But now, too late. Sorry, statute of limitations. I'm not mechuyav to participate in the building of a wall. Is that a good taina, or is it not a good taina? So whether or not that it all appears in the Gemara is up for grabs, but the Ramban and the Rif want us to talk about what is the din. What would the din be? Again, if you enter into the world, if you hold it, has to be a Lashvei Hezek, then it's a moot question. But if you hold it, has to be a Shvei Hezek, what tach is the din? So the starting point, the Shas Chalukas HaShutfis, there was a requirement to build the wall, has anything changed in that? So comes the Rif in the Tshuva and says, we have to take 10 steps back and ask ourselves some basic questions about Dinim HaShchainim. We have to familiarize ourselves with some of the sugyas in the first part, the second part, and the third part of relationships between different people, and see is the fact that I had a taina at one time, but I haven't used that taina. I've been quiet. And now I want to come a few months later, a few weeks, a few years later. What does Allah have to say about that kind of a concept? So the Emes says that concept, that idea, that I have a certain right to complain, I have a certain right to demand, and I don't take advantage of that right. And after a certain amount of time, I kind of lost that right. So that is something that very much appears in Baba Basra. That is the entire background of which prayer of Baba Basra? That's the third prayer. And we hope to Beit Hashem at some point in the not too far distant in the future, hopefully within the next 3 years, we'll get to the Sugya of Cheskes Gimel Shana. But the whole Sugya of Cheskes Gimel Shana is really that. Namely, I own a field. I've owned this field for the last 20 years. Everybody knows I own the field. My father's field, my grandfather's field. David Davis, it's been my field. So there's no question it's been my field. And now Baruch Abu, you're in the field. You're in the field, you're eating the fruit, you're harvesting the crops, you've been there for 1 month, for 2 months, for 6 months, for a year, 2 years, 3 years, X amount of time. All of a sudden, we reach a certain point where the deter is going to go against me. 10 years from now, I'm going to start screaming, hey, get out of my field, I have 8% of my field. What's in effect your response going to be? Really? It's really your field? You sold me the field. What are you sold me the field? Where's the shtar? So the answer is, well, people don't hold on to shtar for very long. But where's the proof? Where's the proof that I sold you the field? What's the proof? You didn't do anything. You've been shaysik. You've been meicha, you've been shaysik for the last 10 years. You haven't said a word. That goofa is a raya that you probably transferred me the rights to this field. Oh, you sold me the field. Even though in terms of pure Gideon, I can't prove it. I don't have a shtar, I don't have Eidim, but I have some unbelievable koyach of a chocho called the fact that you've been quiet X amount of time, that's a riot that the din is probably with me. And you probably were meichels on, you were mevatas on, you were machtas on your rights to this field. So that model in halacha definitely exists. The question becomes, but that's not what we're talking about here. No one's being mocked at anything to anybody over here. We split up a field, we split up a courtyard, half of it is my chotzer, half of it is your chotzer. What are we discussing? What's the din Torah about? Not about Haknos HaChotzer. What's the din Torah about? About what? About the schus to demand that you remove your Hezekiah, which translates to mean the schus to what? To insist upon the construction of a wall. So that's a certain schus moment that I have. I have a right to demand you to participate in this. Again, if you hold Hezekiah, Shvei Hezek. If you hold Hezekiah, Ein Shvei Hezek. Again, she has over. It's Sunday. You can go away. Go enjoy. We'll see you back next week. But if you hold that Hezek Re'iyah, Shvei Hezek, so I have a certain schus to demand that you participate in the building of this wall. Another question in hand is, was I mevater in that schus? Was I meichel in that schus? Was I, quote unquote, machter you back that schus in effect, whatever that means? Has anything changed in the dinim amrits? So all of a sudden you come forward and you say, yes, you Reuben, you mevater in that schus. And I'll prove to the Beis you mevater in that schus. If you weren't mevater, if you weren't meichel in that schus, then you should have spoken up 6 months ago when we divided up the chotzer. So that's the Rif's Hanoch. The Rif's Hanoch is that there exists this concept of a shtika in the face of potential claims of zechuyos, just as we find in Cheskes Avatim, that shtika can be a proof that I actually purchased the entire field, the entire house. So too, at a much lower level, much more limited sense, shtika can be a proof that I was bevater of my zechuyos of demanding that you build a wall to prevent the hezekriya. And that was the source of the Rizkash. That's why the Rif is barred, the texture of the Gemara. Why did the Gemara say, Alma Hezek, Riyala Shme Hezek? Why did the Gemara say, La'olam Hezek, Riyala Shme Hezek? La'olam Hezek, Riyala Shme Hezek? That's the Rif's Hanoch. How did the Rif know that? Who told the Rif that Rukh HaKedish said she didn't exist? Just because we find such a concept in Cheska Sabatim and Shtik is a right that there was a Kanoa, we state that Shtik is a Raya that there was a mechila zchuyos v'shteit azoy. So the Rav had in the back of his mind two gemaras. One of the gemaras I put in the Rambam comes, one of the gemaras I didn't put in the Rambam comes. It was referenced by the Rishayim. So the easier gemara is actually a gemara a little bit later on in the first paragraph of that vav. But the gemara discusses the following: we're two shcheinim. I have a backyard. You have a backyard. We're not shifting in the backyard. I have my backyard, your backyard, my front yard, roughly, whatever the case may be. When I own an area of land, I own the air rights, the airspace, as well. And therefore, lo yitzuyer, I'm your neighbor, and you start sticking poles into my airspace. You start hanging over your bamboo from your schach into my airspace. So I have a right to take you to the entire thing. I get lost. It's my land. So you can put your poles there. But what happens if you left your poles there for a little while, you left your beams there protruding into my airspace for a little while? The Gemara Navot says, after a certain amount of time, we don't know what the answer is, after a certain amount of time, I take you to a din Torah and I say, what are your beams doing there? So listen to your response. Your response is, you gave me rishus to leave it there. You are Michael. You gave me the rights to leave it there. What are you not claiming? Are you claiming you are cleaner? It's like kind of what? Kind of airspace. You are claiming that I was mavach there, I was moichel, and my rights to be moichel. And the Gemara says, that's a good taina. And after a certain amount of time, X amount of time, I don't know what that time is, we're going to reach a point where the person who has the poles there has a taina, and he has a right to continue to use it. That's what the Rishonim call, what's that phrase called? Cheskas what? Cheskas tashmishin. So it's not cheskas habatim in the full sense of the word, but it's patterned after cheskas habatim. Just cheskas habatim, my shtik is a raya that I sold the bias to you. Cheskas tashmishin is my shtik is a raya that I probably was mevater in this chiyus.
Is he saying that the other fellow affirmatively agreed, or is he just saying shtika? I mean, is
that well, we're assuming that the shtik was keldor, that the person was shosik for so long.
That's not a claim of
well, okay, we're going to get that in a minute. We're going to get to that in more than a minute as to what exactly, what precisely the claim is. So the fact is there's a concept called Chesk Tashmish, that's a Gemara Dabba. You can't argue with that Gemara.
Don't we also find the concept, the relative of being not like Rada, but being such a claim against the Jew,
don't we find a model of that in the other too? No, not necessarily. Normally we assume that if somebody's doing something and there's any potential claim that he's going to be masik on something, I better talk about now. I better talk now forever, hold my tongue. So the Rif makes reference to another Gemara in the second parak. Famous story about Rav Yosef. Very strange story. Gemara in the second of Maimonides. Rav Yosef Havli Hanel Tali. Rav Yosef owned these palm trees. Tavu Asa Umni Biyasvi Tesayu. And the palm trees, so they protruded the shade, wherever it was, went over to somebody else's property. And nobody was claiming any taina against that. It's going off in the nose. Yes, the Rosh Hashiva, so it's a schus to have Rosh Hashiva's palm trees, you know, giving shade to my property. But some bloodletters decided to set up shop right under the palm trees. I can imagine why. You know, you want a long line for people to, you know, to let blood, so they probably want to be nice and comfortable while they're doing it. So what a great, instead of having, you know, like giving COVID tests on the corner of 185th, so you set it up, you know, in a nice shady area, nice place, people don't have to be uncomfortable with the waiting. So kachab, so the umni was sitting underneath Rav Yosef's shade from his palm trees. Okay, good. Rav Yosef's happy, the bloodletters are happy, everyone's shalom Yisrael. Until the Arvi came, but also Arvi. So after time, the ravens started to come and started to peck around a little bit. Why were the ravens coming? What was attracting the ravens here? So again, you don't get the sense that there was a tremendous amount of great hygienic process, practice taking place here. So the blood was getting all over the place. So they were not collecting it in any medical specimen bags for disposal. Just that guy was letting out blood. The blood's all laying all over the floor. So the apparently ravens like to eat the blood. It must be tasty, nutritious. So all of a sudden, there seemed to be like a whole pack of ravens that were coming here. Okay, so what's the problem? Not so simple. Achle dami, they would eat the blood. Vesalki abetali, and then they would have a nice dinner from the blood on the floor, and then they'd find a nice place to lay down on Rav Yosef's palm trees. So okay, so what's so gefilah? Masa ditamri. In the process, they were destroying the dates. So either the dates were getting all bloody, or they were getting eaten up, or not exactly clear what's happening. The mice. The bottom line is, Rav Yosef was not happy about the situation. So Amar Rav Yosef, afikuli korka mehocha. Rav Yosef took these guys to the interior, and he said, get these ravens out of here. It means get these blood letters, get lost. You have no right anymore to be letting blood, because your letting blood is causing this whole sugya down the line, a whole big problem, and altocha shcheinim, you have to get out of here. That's what Rav Yosef claimed. Abaye said, this is so indirect. It will throw back to the character difference. I can never really say goodbye to that sugya. There's such a gromashib a gromah. It's chagadya. Until Rav Yosef's getting his tamar ruined. Abaye, how came Rav Tuvi Mamas? They say there is gromah is yakin also. Says no, gromah is potter. So Rav Yosef, I'm not claiming that they have to pay. I'm not claiming that the bloodletters have to pay for my tamar that again ruled. That's too indirect, but they're not allowed to do it. Korban is eaten also, and therefore I have a right to take it to the entire al tzuch hashcheinim and tell them to get lost. So my ask the kasha va'achzik lahu. Wait a second. These guys have been around for a while. It wasn't like the first day that they set up shop with Yosef to complain. Yosef was quiet about this for weeks and months and years. He let this go. And therefore, even though the Gemara is saying it's true that a Rabbi Yosef would have tined right away to get lost, the Cheshchena would have permitted him to advance such a taina, but he didn't advance such a taina. So by letting them hang around for a while, what was he doing in effect? He was Avat, he was Meichel on his chus. And that's what the Gemara says, Va'achzik lehu. So what kasha is that Achzik lehu? What halachic principle is the Gemara invoking? Cheskas what? Cheskas Mishai. It means basically there was understood that Rabbi Yosef was Michael's eye. He entered into an unsaid, unwritten agreement that he's going to give up on that tine of his to have them remove the blood letters. So the Rif had this Gemara in his back pocket. So the Rif said, you see from two Gemaras in Baba Basra, the first parak and the second parak, that there is a concept called Chesed Tashmishin. There's a concept of Chesed Tashmishin. Why shouldn't there be a concept of Chesed Tashmishin when it comes to the Hezekiah as well? So going back to square one, back to the Rif's textual kasha in the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? Zayse Meres, Alma Hezek, Rialash Mehezek, Feli Eilm Shmehezek. The reason why you can't force to build the wall is because the stomach they were Meichel. So comes the Rif and says the answer to this dilemma is found actually in the end of the Gemara, in the second of the Memekremis. Even though it's true, yes, there is a concept of Cheskes Tashmishin, but there is an exception to the rule of Cheskes Tashmishin as well. What is the exception to the rule? What the Gemara contains is Ha'amarav. Basically says as follows. Yes, Ches Tashmishin exists in Halacha. Yes, if you dray around for a few months and you let the guy have his beam protruding into your airspace, you can't turn around 6 months later and complain. you will mevatel. It's a raya from your shtika, you will mechal netzchus already. But there are certain kinds of chesed sashmishin that you would never mechal. What do you mean you would never mechal? If it's something that's physically irks people, something that's physically distasteful, that's physically uncomfortable, then we assume just because you left it there for a little while and you didn't complain, that's not a raya that you were really, really meichel, because people are not meichel on these things. These are things that your average person, it's not shayach, the guy is meichel on. And the Gemara gives two examples. One is, I have my field and you have your field. And in your field, 2 feet away from my property line, you're producing something that's making this big smoke. Or you decide to put an outhouse, it's a base of kise, right smack in next to my cornfield. It smells terrible. So I'm trying to work in my field. My workers are trying to collect the corn. And 2 feet away, there's a horrific odor from the base of kise. Or the smoke in their eyes from the kutras, because you're running a kiln in the middle of Kansas, a cornfield. So comes the one says, things that cause tzar haguf to people, they're not subject to this parasha, to this sugi of chesed tashmishi, because v'shteitzach, the guy was never really meichel. Even if he thought he was meichel, it was all mechila betalos, he never really was meichel. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef claims that the blood of these Orvim, for Rav Yosef, this was like the same thing. He was a nini daite, he was very delicate, very sensitive kind of a person, and having the bloody ravens spatzering around his fruit and up the trees and making this whole balagan here, that's something like the kutra in the Beis Akisa that you can assume there never really was mechila. So Ad Khan, different Gemara. Yeah.
Yeah. Rebbe?
Yeah.
Could you say a more simple answer for the case of Rav Yosef, that maybe he just didn't think that there would be ravens meikara, and then later on the ravens came, so it changed everything about the case? Maybe the ravens weren't there originally?
When the Gemara knew that also. The Gemara says, Va'achzik lehu, sounds like the ravens were there from day one. It sounds like otherwise in the Gemara's kasha wasn't really a kasha. So you see two things in this Gemara. You see there's a concept of Chesed Tashmishi that we already know from the Vav, but it's verified once again in the base. And you see that sometimes there are exceptions to the rule of Chesed Tashmishi. Comes the Riff of the Tshuva and says, it must be, Chazal must have sized up, that Hezek Re'iyah is like the halach equivalent of what? Of Kutras and Besakises and the ravens and the blood. People get nuts over Hezek Re'iyah, assuming it's Shmei Hezek. People go crazy over it. It's a tzar haguf. Imagine, I'm trying to sit in my backyard and I see your peering eyes looking at every single thing I'm doing in my backyard. People don't like that. It gets people nervous. People get very upset about that. And that halachli is like a tzar haguf. And therefore, chesed tashmishi is not going to work for Hezek. Therefore, the Gemara didn't invoke it in Asug in the Beis Beis. I can't defeat Shmei Hezek. So Rabbi said we have to really analyze this riff and understand the two nekudas that the riff is saying. The riff introduced us to Chesed Tashmishi. He introduced us to the exception of Chesed Tashmishi. And then he expanded and extrapolated that Hezek Re'iyah is like those kutras and basic kises that are not subject to the regular rules of Chesed Tashmishi. So we have a little bit of work to do just to fine-tune the riff and see who the bar pluktas in the riff are. So let's just go back to the ABCs for a second, back to Chesed Tashmishi. Do we understand this concept of Chesed Tashmishi? How exactly this works? I mean, Chesed Batim, we know everything about. We got to doubt that. We haven't opened up the parak yet, but we have the basic idea of Chesed Batim. And now we have the Vav, we have the Chabez, this extension of Chesed Tashmishi. Let's backtrack for a second. So Taisus, on the Chav Gimel, quotes a major, major machlokes between the Rivam and the rest of the world. The Reb of Mordechai, Taisus quotes as follows, the fourth and around the Kremis. Pirish Reber of Mordechai, Kevin Shlobo Lahachzik Bekarta Shal Chaveir of Loma Shalayu, Ela Tashmish Bi Alma Shenena Mimenu, Mayelas Chazoka Shalom Betaina. Dibis Tava Loyu, Aimim Shabachlam of Yezik Tashmish Zeh. Havoki, I know the Yel, the Achzik Lahurdi, the Melas Chazoka Shalom Betaina, that's the beams. Mitlai Micha Gimushan Mochaloy. Let's go to the Rivam the following, you say. Hopefully, Mitzvah, when we get to the third paragraph, it's going to be coming. You can wake us up in the middle of the night about this topic. The opening mission of the third paragraph of Bavasa says there's a concept called Cheskes about them. If I'm staying in your field, eating the fruit, harvesting, or I'm living in your house, using your house, for 3 years pass, So that's a chazakah. And if you, I claim to you now that you sold me the field, I win. I have no shtar, no edim, nothing. Chesed b'mushal works. That's the magic of chesed b'mushal. How that works? Why that works? The Rai said, the Rabbanah is a robe, not a robe, is a chazakah, is it this, is it the Rabbanah? Whoa. The Rai said, I don't want to spill the beans for the beginning of the third parak. But the Mishnah says chesed b'mushal works. Comes the Mishnah a little bit later on in this third prayer and qualifies the din of chesed b'mushalim as follows. What's the din of the following scenario? I say to you, how God with the Amalei and Chabim, my boy is by Ara, what are you doing in this land? Anyone recognize those words? Anyone ever learned the third prayer? Every single case starts off with that same phrase. My boy is by Ara, what are you doing? I should correct myself. Half the cases start with my boy is by Ara, the other half begin with my boy is by Besa. There's different cases. So I say to you, what are you doing in my life? So what are you doing there? I take you to the Torah. I bring Sabluski versus Borgen. I say, what are you doing in my life? So what does Jeremy respond? I've been here for 3 years. Cheskim showed him. And I bring Aida Musay. They saw me eat the crops 1 year and 2 years and 3 years. There's no word on the street that I was ever Moshe. So you win the case right away. So I say, wait. Start again. What are you doing in my land? You ate the fruit for 3 years. What right did you have to do that? So you know your response is? Nobody stop me. Anyone know what that's called?
Ganav.
Well, if I call it Ganav, yeah. That's called Chazaka She'eni Mataina. That means, yeah, you have a Chazaka, but you have no legitimate reason to explain what are you doing there? Chazaka shiyeshi mataina means you could respond as follows. You know what I'm doing here in the land? I bought the field from you. Or I could respond, you gave me the field as a present. Or you can say, I bought the field from your father. Or you could say, my father bought the field from your father. You have to give some kind of an explanation of what you're doing here. That's called chazaka shiyeshi mataina. So the Mishnah says the favorish. Beginning of chazabatim, only chazaka shiyeshi mataina works, chazaka shiyeshi mataina doesn't work. So comes in the name of the Rivam and says, "Bamed the Mamurim that we require a chazaka sheyeshi mataina." That's what the din Torah is revolving around, whether he bought the field or bought the house or not. But in these lower level din Torah, about cheskes tashmishin, like the sugyas of Rav Yosef. Again, at the end of the day, Rav Yosef was not a good cheskes tashmishin because it was the daiter, the kutzah basic. He said at the end of the day it failed, but in that line of the Gemara. The Rivam is going on that line. That's the different Machal Taisis. On the Ha'achziklu, when the Gemara, the Amaron asked on the story, there was a Chazaka. So the Gemara didn't mean a Chazaka, Cheskes HaGuf, to be cut into the Gufa. No one's being cut into the Kufa there. It was just the right to keep the tree there and to continue to bloodlet underneath the tree. So comes Taisis in the name of the Rivam and says, at that line in the Gemara, whenever the Gemara is just merely talking the low-level language of Cheskes Tashmishin, there's no need for a time. And Taisa says, I'll prove to you that they'll need for a time. And we don't have any record in this sikhsuch between Rav Yosef and the blood letters that anyone was claiming that they mamish bought anything here. There was no kinyan here mentioned. So it doesn't sound from the text of the Gemara that there was any real time here. But that's okay, says Taisa. Chazaka shirim time is good. That's fine. That's okay. Chazaka shirim time is okay, as long as you're not talking about the gufa, dava. And Taisus rejects this stuff. Taisus says, I can't believe it's true. So Chazak without a taina, who said before that's a gneiv, it's a gezeila. That doesn't register. Even though we're talking about a low level Chazak, you have to have a taina. So Ruben the Rishonim don't really buy into it. Many of the Rishonim don't buy into this Rivam. But the Rivam was not alone on this. The Torah quotes the Cheshbish, but there were ge'einim who held like this. The Rivam is not the first person in the history of the world to come up with this idea that a chazak sheni mataina can work, at least by cheskes tashmishin. So there's a very, very famous kasha on this shittas harivam. I'll give you a hint to the guys in the shul last year. We spoke about this, believe it or not, in Maseches Pesachim, about the shittas hagoyim, shittas harivam. Who remembers that? It's a good trivia from last year. And Sugi Mesiris Mavteach, kind of, back in Avdala, from Digas Chometz. Remember that one?
Most of the Digar.
Okay. So comes the Ketzos and says he doesn't understand this Rivam conceptually. It's a peladikah Rivam. What do those words mean? I say, why do you think you have a right to leave your poles hanging into my property? And you know what your response is? Nothing. I don't have any kind of. You never stop me. Before the Gemara realized that the Orvim are like a bathroom, the Gemara asked Ha'erzikalu. So the Rivam claimed the Gemara's kasha was, I say to you, why do you think you have a right to be having blood all over the place and destroyed my property and caused me such aggravation? And your response is, well, I've been doing it for the last 10 years. What does that mean? What do the words mean you've been doing it for the last 10 years? What mechanism in Didi Mominus gives you the right to continue doing it? It's very nice. You did it till now and get lost. Go jump in a lake there. So what kind of halakh mechanism are you invoking that's going to be mechayiv me from here on in to let you keep my beam, your beams here, or to let me keep your, to allow you to continue to leave your blood letters here? What is your, no pun intended, what is your taina when you have a chazak shenim a taina? Like, what are you claiming? So says the Ketzos, a karchach, what you must be claiming is as follows. The very fact that you're using my airspace, the very fact that your beams are in my property, and I am supposedly agreeing to that, that's what my shtick is, I'm agreeing to that, I'm letting you use it, the usage of my property, he gufa, is a lot. Catch this one. That's a ma'asekinyan. You are kind of the rights of the airspace. You are kind of the rights to have ravens flying around your trees. A chazaka she'ini matayna just means I'm not claiming that there was some other shtar mechira that we used 6 months later, 6 months ago to sell those rights. That I'm not claiming. That would be a chazaka she'ini matayna. A chazaka she'ini matayna means I'm just proposing the following counterclaim. I'm just saying that you let me keep the beams here. You knew the beams were here. You were masking to keep the beams here. Your letting me leave the beams here is gufa kinyan. A kinyan of what? What's for kinyan is there? I learned Pashta kinyan, I learned Mesach's Kedusha, the first part. Isha nikkis begivu derachim, yivam nikkis bezoyin, evit evit nikkis bezoyin, karka nikkis bezoyin, metal nikkis bezoyin, behebe kasa bezoyin, behebe taka bezoyin. Even I know how to buy and sell elephants in the first part. Everything under the sun. How do you buy cheskes tashmishin? What kinyan would you possibly use to buy cheskes tashmishin? So l'chora, you would say, it's probably patterned after a kinyan karka. It's not a perfect kinyan karka, but it's kind of like, it's like how kinyan karka mimitzes. Kinyan karka goofed, when you want to become the goofa karka, so then you have to make a kinyan. I know what the kinyan is, keser shtach hazok. When you want to be kind of the rights to use the karka, to use the airspaces above the karka, want to have some kind of a shaychus to your property, mistoma, you would make a kinyan called keser shtar chazocha. So here, where's the keser? Where's the shtar? Where's the chazocha? The kinyan that your claim, your response to my taina to get lost, is that no. When you say I've been leaving the beams here for 6 months, what you're really claiming, says the Ketzos, v'das harivam, is that you were kind of the rights to leave the beams there. Which Maisekinian precisely did you use? So I'm striking out on all ends. Kesef nish, shtar nish, chazoka nish, chalipa nish, vavosantos. What kind of Maisekinian is achzokas habims in my airspace? You ever have any idea what possible Maisekinian could be?
Sounds like a chazaka.
What?
It sounds like a chazaka.
Chazaka is really tricky. Who thinks this meets the criteria of kinyan chazaka? Keser shtar chazaka. Chazaka is a good way to be kind of karka. So there's a major, major machlokes Rishonim, which is going to become such a major issue in the third paragraph of Basra. Machlokes the Rambam and probably the rest of the world about what the taich of the word chazaka. Karka is nikne b'chazaka. What are those words mean? How do you kind of karka b'chazaka? So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Kedushin, the Mishnah of Basra, speaks about kinyan chazaka, and the Gemara gives a few examples of kinyan chazaka. I don't know what those examples are.
No, go there. Are there parrots?
So, Shiloh, what do you, these are things you would mean? I fix a broken fence, or I make a breach in the fence so nobody can get in and out. I do something that Rav Rishonim call tikkun hakarka. Kinyan chazaka, according to the Raivin, according to the Ramban, according to the Rashba, according to the Rashbam, according to the Rub, the Rishonim. The word chazaka, in the context of how to acquire land, means tikkun hakarka. According to most of the Rishonim, the term chazaka, as appears in kinyan chazaka, has absolutely no relevance, no resemblance, living or dead, to another term, chazaka, that appears in karka. What is that? Cheskes what? Gibushonim. Cheskes gibushonim, there's no tikkun hakarka. What does cheskes gibushonim mean? Achilas what? What do you do to be show that you own the land?
Kills peros.
Peros. Says the Raivid, it says the Rashbam, it says the Ramban, it says the Rashba, it says 99% of the Rishonim. The term chazaka, as is used in Masechet Kedushin to describe a kinyan chazaka, and the term chazaka, as is used in the third pekah of Avasa to describe a proof that a sale took place, just by quirk happened to have the same letters, just a problem of diktuk, the same sherish chazaka, but the imagery and the halakha concept are kamech and misuk b'mayim. Cheskes kinyan zok the Rav Rishonim is only accomplished with tikkun hakarka. Cheskes gimushonim is not a kinyan b'chol. It's a raya that a kinyan occurred. From the fact that I'm eating the fruit for 3 years, I'm being machzik, the machzik inshi, thus is a raya that I probably had a shtar 10 years ago that I can't find. But the two have nothing to do with each other. One's called tikkun hakarka, one's called the chilus peiros. Mamash, two different worlds in the Zikin. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav, and Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezayin. Who remembers from last year? What's the easy way to remember Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav? Was it a monarch from last year? In Kerbiyam, no lunch at what time? 1:15. So the Rambam talks about eating on 1:15. Mechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav. Okay, that was the one. We looked at the Basa in Kerbiyam, that was where anyone remembers this Rambam. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam discussed, they still eat lunch at 1:15?
Yeah.
Nothing changes. Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam describes Achilas Peros as not only serving as a proof that a kinyan occurred years before, but Achilas Peros could actually be a Maisa kinyan also. So if I say to you, I want to sell you my field, and you say, great, I want to buy it, and I want to be no good apart, I'm not such a handy kind of a guy, I can't go to Home Depot, I don't know how to break fences, how to build fences, I can't do anything. But I do know how to eat. So I say to you, listen, I want to sell you this apple tree, so pull off a couple of apples off the tree and take a good bite out of them and enjoy, that's a kinyan, since the Ramachilas Peros is a kinyan. If I say to you, listen, I want to sell you this field, the tool is ready to be harvested, you go with your sickle, you cut off some of the wheat, you are kind of on the whole field. Achilas Peros Kwandiram is a Maisa kinyan as well. It is, yeah, absolutely. It's a Shiz Aram. Hopefully, it's Shem. We'll get the Chesabat and we'll talk a lot more about this. So comes the Ktzayis with the following Cheshbon and says, I understand how Cheskes Tashmishin works without a Taina in the worldview of who? Of the Rambam. Because if you think about it, we're looking for what Maisa Kinyan, the sticking poles in somebody's airspace, accomplish. Well, what kind of Maisa Kinyan? Give me a name to Maisa Kinyan. So I said, Kesef is this Kesef, Shtar is this Shtar, Chalip is this Chalip. So Mr. Alter said, oh, it's Chazaka. Is it Chazaka? Is having my poles in your airspace called the Kinyan Chazaka? What do you think it depends upon? What does it depend upon, everybody say? The Rambam and the other Mishan? According to the Rambam, who has this newfangled method of Achilas Peiros being the lach equivalent of a kinyan chazaka, you don't need tikkun hakarka, Achilas Peiros is good enough. What's made Achilas Peiros? Achilas Peiros means eating an apple. What's made Achilas Peiros? Means what? No, not the tikkun hakarka. No, but what's made Achilas Peiros? Not tikkun hakarka, according to the Rambam. What's made tikkun hakarka? What's made Achilas Peiros? Shimush hakarka. The Rambam learns Pshat and Gemara in the beginning of Chazavatim. What if it's a field that's not producing any grain, any fruit? So the Rambam says, So take a pile of something and pile it up in the ground and use the ground for something. Use it for storage. Storage space. That's shimush b'karka. According to the rabbi, you don't need tikkun hakarka. Tikkun chazaka. Shimush b'karka is also going to be mechilas peiros. It's a shimush b'karka. So therefore, if I want to acquire from you airspace, how do I acquire airspace? By doing a kinyan karka. What kinyan do I do? What do? I use the karka. Or I use the what?
The airspace.
The airspace. And therefore, according to the Rambam, I understand fully well why, how does chazaka work for poles and beams? What is going on? Mina davov? Does chesis tashmishen? I'm saying to you, the reason why I'm allowed to continue to use my airspaces here for your airspace forever and ever is because you were mocked there to be those airspaces. Based on what? I don't claim there was ever shtar. I don't claim there was ever kinyan chalipa. I don't claim there was ever kinyan kesef. Based on what? It's a chazak sheni matanya. The answer is, for the mere fact that you were shaysing, you were masking to let me use it, letting me use your airspace means you were mocked there to be the airspace. Based on what mechanism of kinyan? Kinyan chazaka. First thing, kinyan chazaka. Tashmish shakarka. That's the pshat Gemara and Dafaf. That's the Gemara and Daf Chabez. Ha'achzik iluhu. That means you're invoking the parish in the sugi of Kinyan Chazaka and the Rambam's version of Kinyan Chazaka. Kum Tekzois and says, that's very nice. That's fine and dandy according to the Shittas Rambam. But the Raivi, the Rashbam, the Ramban, the Rashban, everybody else never heard of this. According to all the other Rishonim, you know what Kinyan Chazaka means? Now, Zach, now you can say the right thing. Tikkun HaKarka. Not Shibush Baka. Tikkun HaKarka. You're going to tell me that the Rivam is Meshubat Rishit Zeramba? You're going to tell me that Tetzai said all the Ge'enim who sided with the Rivam at the Torah quotes all held like the Rambam? I don't believe it, says Tetzai. I don't believe that that's true. That any and every Rishon under the sun who learned the Gemara under Chavez, Chav Gimel, and Davav that you don't need a Chazak HaShei Shema Chayin if a Chazak HaShmishin all held like the Rambam is Das Yochin and Echimus Peret can't be, says Tetzai. What's the Bir Adavar? No, who remembers from last year? What's the Bir Adavar? We're just trying to understand what Chazak HaShmishin is. You have to appreciate the Rif's Kasha. The Rif brought up at the base, we don't know what the words mean. It says, it's this big breakthrough, it says. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to talk about this a lot more down the line in the third parak, but for our purposes now, we have to extract the Ktais, as you say. This is much like the Rambam in the rest of the world, about where the Shemesh Bekarka is kind of. You know why all the Rishonim held that Shemesh B'Karka was not Koina? You know what the problem was? When you're Koina Karka, you want to be Koina what? The what HaKarka? What's the key word? The blind, the Gufa Karka. How is a mere usage of the Karka addressing the Gufa Karka? Bishlama, when I'm sacking the Gufa Karka, I fix up the land, I fix up the fence, I fix up the house, I break down something, I fix something. That's a kinyan that speaks to the guf adava. Kinyanim have to speak to the item that I'm being kinyan. So the other Rishonim had a problem with the Rambam by using the fruit that's coming out of that, the tashmish is not the guf adava. And therefore tashmish adava can't be a kinyan. But tashmish adava can't be a kinyan when your goal is to be kinyan what? The guf adava. But what if you don't have such lofty goals. What's your goal? Simply to do what? Simply to be kind of what? Peiros or tashmishin. Tashmishin. All I want is to be kind of the tashmish. I don't want to go for dover. The bloodletters didn't want Rav Yosef's airspace. The guy with the beams is not interested in buying the other guy's property. They simply wanted to acquire the rights in halacha to continue to do what they were doing. That's a kitten tashmishin. It's not a kitten gufadover. Easy come, easy go. If all you want to be kind is the kitten tashmishin, what's the method that you use of tzitzis?
Tashmishin.
Even according to all the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. That's the big, big breakthrough of the tzitzis. Does it ring a bell from last year? That kitten schiras with the tzitzis, with the Rashi and Taisus, the Dalam Sochim. Hopefully, the third prep will come back to it. So basically, where my viach now is, we at least have a fighting chance to understand where the riff is coming from. So the riff wrecked the kasha. Why does our Gemara say that the binyan of the kaisel was presupposing hezek real ashma hezek? Maybe the Gemara meant the reason why I can't force him to build the wall is because He was Michael already because it was Chas Tashmishin. And then the Rebbe said, no, Hochama Iskidim is no Chas Tashmishin because it's like Anina Daiti. It's like Kutras and Mesa Kisins. So we have to understand the Rif's Kashrut. It's in the Rif's Teres. So the Rif was assuming there's a parasha, there's a Sugya Chas Tashmishin, make up that Sugya. He got it from the Vav Gav Tel Chabez Chav Gimel. So we had to fine tune that a little bit. What's made Chas Tashmishin? So according to Taisa, most of the Rishonim, Chas Tashmishin is the same as Chas Tabatim. It's Chazaka with the Yeshiva. Taina without a Taina is Gorish Kehof. But the Rivamu introduced the possibility of Chazaka She'eni Matayin of Chas Tashmishin. How do you understand the mechanics of that? So if you hold pure Rambam, that's hunky-dory. And the Ktzai says, breakthrough was, even if you disagree with the Rambam, it's still hunky-dory. It's a half hunky-dory. It's halfway. It's hunky without dory. It's halfway. So we can understand. We can understand the Rishitas of Rivam, even without being Meshubah to Shitas of Rambam. You can still invoke that Sugya of Chas Tashmishin, at least Chach being a Chazaka, Shimush HaKarak is good enough to be Kenet Tashmishin. So we got the Kash of the Rif. What's the Maskalim? It's the top of the Rif. Up the Zok. No. Hezekriya. It's not much like Kutra Beis HaKiseis, and it's not Nitzel to Mechila, and the guy never really meant to be Meichel, and there's no such thing as Chazaka.
And he's still looking at Chazaka then for the explanation.
It's a Kenyan Chazaka that works. It's a unique kind of Kenyan Chazaka that will only work when your goal is not to be kind of Kufa
Zohar. And you're being quoted the Karka with respect to Tashmishin?
It's kind of like a Kenyan Haguf Lepeir or something like that. We're going to see off of the third parak. Some Rishonim seem to put this together with the idea of a Kenyan Schirus, a Kenyan Sheila possibly. That a Kenyan Schirus is mamish like that. It's a Chusla, it's a Kenyan Haguf Adov, look at it, it's Chusla Peiris. So Rabbi say, now that we spent a half hour in understanding where the Rif was coming from in terms of this kash, what's this teretz? This teretz is a tremendous equation, a big machodishtik equation. Hezek Re'iyah is not nitan to mechila. It's not nitan to kiniyas ha-tashmish. Just the fact that the guy was quiet doesn't prove anything. The same way being quiet by the bathhouse, by the bathroom, being quiet by the ravens, being quiet by the furnace next door, those are not rayas to anything. You can't bring a raya. I was quiet, so therefore I'm quiet. Therefore I was Michael. I wasn't Michael. So the Rif says Hezekri is the same thing. Who was the Baplukt of the Rif? Very, very strange. Very would not have expected this one to be the Baplukt of the Rif. The Rif's very own Talmud. His Talmud Muvuk, his closest Talmud, was the Rimagash. The Rimagash became a Talmud of the Rif at the end of the Rif's life. The Rif originally was in North Africa, was in Morocco, that's what his name was, the Rif, Al-Fasi from Fez, city of Fez. He lived there until he was in his 70s. Then in his 70s, so he didn't just want to change, you know, climate and, you know, get a taste of Spain. People who were running Morocco basically gave him two choices. Either we kill you or get lost, basically. So nice, he chose the getting lost. The Rif ran away for his life from Morocco. And in those days, if you ran away from Morocco, where's the closest place to go? Go to Spain. You just got to hop a boat up the Mediterranean and shoot. So we ended up in Spain. So here, the Rif, at the ripe old age of 75 years old, arrives in Spain. What does he do? Starts yeshiva. His Talmidim in Spain. So his Talmud Muvok in Spain, his later career, is the Rimagash. It's interesting. I was just last night, I was listening to his driving, so I was listening to a Shia from Meshechta. And he mentioned something about the Rimagash. I never even realized this. It's a fascinating insight historically. It's much like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, at 24,000, we don't know any anymore. One or two, maybe by name, the Gemara mentions in passing. But his famous Talmidim were the ones who became at the end of his life. So the Rif also, the Rif was 75 years old, means he was a Rashiva. We don't know when he was saying sure 50 years in Morocco. And I don't think we have any record of anybody who went in his Talmidim were. And then he comes to Spain, and all of a sudden, the Rimagash becomes this Talmud Muvok Shemuvokim. And the whole Messiah of the Rif comes to us through the Rimagash. So the Rimagash had a very, very famous Talmud. What was his name? Rabbeinu Maimon was the Talmud Muvok of the Rimagash. And of course, the Rambam. Rambam writes that the Rambam's Rebbe Muvok was his father. So the Rambam very often refers to the Rimagash as being his Rebbe. He didn't mean it like he was Mamish, his Rebbe. There's a question, different stories that the Rambam did meet the Rimagash, whatever the details, whether he met the Rimagash or not. But he clearly was not a Talmud of the Rebbe Gash, just in terms of the years, the chronology. He was a little kid.
Rebbe Gash died when the Rabbi was six.
Right, something like that. Yeah. Something. He wasn't a Talmud Muslim.
He wasn't really met him, that's different.
Right. I'm saying, there's legends that he actually met him, that the Rebbe's father brought him to him when he was a little boy and gave him a brach. Whatever the stories were, I can't tell you. But when the Rebbe writes that Rebbe Gash was a Rebbe, he meant through his father's eyes, he viewed himself as a Talmud of the Rebbe Gash. And by extension, in a sense, viewed himself as the Talmud, an extension of the Shittas HaRif. So of all people to argue with the Rif, the Rebbe Gash, questions his Rebbe, and he says, it's against the Gemara. It's against the Mishnah. A Mishnah, the end of Ches Tabatim. The Mishnah speaks about building a window. I build the window, and depending on the size of the window, the Mishnah says, I may require a chazaka to continue to keep that window there. If it was a certain size window, and the Mishnah starts talking about the Chalon HaMitzri, the Chalon HaMitzri, I'm not holding by the Anderson window projects of the days of the Mishnah. Anderson's make windows in America today. But Lamaisa, the Mishnah describes the possibility of creating a chazaka. If I had this window here for X amount of time, you can't turn around later and tell me to get rid of it, to close up the window. I was acquired that chus to keep that window going. So the Rebbe Gash says, what's the other guy's timing? What is the other guy care whether you have a window or not? What's the answer? What's this window doing? It's a Hezekiah. The Mishnah is addressing the issue of Hezekiah. So the Rebbe Gash fret the kasha to this Rebbe, to the Rif. Says, I don't understand. If the Mishnah is talking clearly about opening and closing and shutting and forcing people to open and close windows, obviously there's a Hezekiah issue here, and the Mishnah is saying that if the window was made in such a way that would be a riot that the guy was Meichel, if it's a tiny, tiny window, maybe the guy wasn't worth the mechila. But if it's a window that's really detracting from his use of his property, clearly there's a Hezekiah issue. And the Mishnah talks about the possibility of yes having a chazak and Hezekiah. How can the Mishnah tell you a story? There's no chazak and Hezekiah. Hezekiah is like kutra basic use. It's not pasha, not true. It's against the Mishnah. That was the Rebbe Gash's kasha against the Rebbe. So it took hundreds of years to come for an answer. So the later he shined, solved the problem, solved the dilemma with the rift. That window that the Rebbe Gash was looking through, maybe there's another way to look through that window. Maybe that sugya in the third of Basra is not even told by Hezekiah altogether. So for Bet Hashem tomorrow, we have to come back to the sugya of the second half of the rift. So we spent most of the time today understanding where the rift is coming from, this kasha, what Cheskes Tashmish is all about. And now the rift was equating Hezekiah to these kinds of activities that are not subject to Mechila. The first glance is against the Mishnah. We'll mention tomorrow. We'll figure out why the Rif is talking not against the Mishnah. Then try to branch out a little bit in the sugi and see how this is going to play out in terms of what's up with yes, no, maybe so when it comes to the sugi. You guys want to know what time is it?